Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, sitting in for Kevin Swanson. You can learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net. We're talking today about religious liberty and the fact that there are so many assaults on religious liberty at every turn in America. My guest, Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. We're going to talk about two cases. One case involving a pastor who objected to a drag queen story hour at a public library. And secondly, a case back in December of when a young teenager wanted to play Joy to the World in a school recital of sorts. So, Brad, thanks for joining us today on Generations.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Adam.
Tell me about this pastor in Spokane, Washington, who objected to a drag queen story hour taking place in his backyard. What was going on there that he objected to?
Well, he was very concerned for the kids. This was a public presentation by drag queens who were putting on this presentation in a public place, the library. It was advertised, made public. The public was welcome. So it was a public event, and he's a member of the public. So he decided, you know what? I'm concerned with these kids. I just want to go there, see what's going on. At the very least, just pray silently to the Lord for his protection of these kids. His heart just, you know, went out as it normally would to anyone who cares about children and the influence that they may have or the confusion that they may have because of something like this. So he decided to attend, and he went to go inside. He had was holding his Bible, and the policeman said, sir, where are you going there? He said, well, I'm going in to watch the drag queen story hour. The police said, well, are you supportive of them? He said, well, no, but I'm just going to observe. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to observe and look at it. And he said, well, then you're not allowed to be there. You have to believe them. He said, well, no, I know my constitutional rights. I know you can't discriminate against me because of my beliefs. And so I'm going to go in. And he said, sir, if you don't leave immediately, I'm going to arrest you. And he said, officer, I know my rights. And I know this is my First Amendment rights. Officer handcuffed him, put him in a squad car for over 3 hours.
3 hours in a squad car?
Yes, in the back seat of the squad car. Then the policeman, after all the drag queen story hour and everyone had left, then he drove him down, booked him in the jail. We were contacted, and we at Pacific Justice Institute started representing him. We have an office there in Washington.
Was he discriminated against on the basis of the fact that the police officer saw the pastor walking in with a Bible in his hand?
Yes, absolutely. That's why. Now, if he had a big bugle horn and electric horn and big signs, and he was going in there screaming and yelling, okay, I get it. But that wasn't the case at all. He was doing absolutely nothing to create a disturbance. It was just his beliefs he was asked about. That's why he was kept out.
So Pastor Afshin Yatin, who's a pastor of a small evangelical church, was not only held inside the back of the police car there on the school library grounds for 3 hours, but he was then booked later and arrested for having created a disturbance. How did Pacific Justice Institute even find out what was going on? Did the pastor contact you all directly, or did a friend or relative of his do that?
Someone who knew about it contacted us and then connected us together. We have hundreds of affiliate attorneys all across the United States. We do all of our work without charge, and we're unique in that we don't turn anyone away when it comes to what we do, religious freedom, parents' rights, sanctity of life. So we have a lot of watchdogs across the country, and one of those tipped us off on this. We went ahead and we sent a demand letter explaining the law. We expect the charges to be dropped immediately, and an apology, at the very least, for the charges to be dropped. Sometimes law enforcement doesn't want to apologize and for whatever reason. So they went ahead and did not drop the charges, much less apologize. They doubled down, and this thing was the prosecution was taking this to trial. So we went and filed a motion to dismiss with a very detailed argument as to why this is unconstitutional. And the judge heard both perspectives and decided to dismiss the case and said, government, law enforcement cannot discriminate against someone at a public from attending a public event simply because of the beliefs or perceived beliefs of the person who's attending. Government can't discriminate against you because of your beliefs. I mean, this is pretty no-brainer. You don't have to be a constitutional lawyer to sort of get this one.
Right.
Instead of saying, okay, all right, Your Honor, with their tail between their legs, no, they went ahead, for the prosecution, went ahead and filed a motion for reconsideration. the judge looked at the information, looked at our points about why this is unconstitutional, and sided with us, dismissed the case, and said in a very thorough opinion how this violates the Constitution, that the government cannot discriminate against someone and treat them differently just because of their beliefs or even perceived beliefs. We solidly won this. We thought it was done. Oh, no. The prosecution doubles down, files a motion for reconsideration, and the judge says, once again, I'm dismissing this case, and once again, here's why.
Who is prosecuting it?
The district attorney's office there in Spokane.
And they obviously are about as liberal as they come. I mean, Washington is liberal. Spokane, Washington is super liberal. And anyone who dares to push up against the mantra that drag queens are great is worthy of death, virtually, in their view.
Yeah, it's really sad that the attitude and philosophy, and they went ahead and decided to appeal it. The district attorney's office, prosecution, is so committed at getting this pastor, who did nothing except want to be treated equally, okay?
He barely even walked in the door.
Right. So they are so committed to use their taxpayer resources to go after this person that they are using resources to appeal it. But here's the real rub. We found out that the district attorney for the prosecution handling this case on his Facebook referred to our client, the pastor, as another one of these religious loonies, end quote.
Oh, my.
Religious loony. Yeah. And we brought that before the judge. He took this off his Facebook. But it shows you where they're coming from. Someone's a religious loony because they have compassion for little children being read a story about changing your gender by a drag queen, an exorbitantly dressed drag queen. We shouldn't hate these people. They're not trying to hurt children. They think they're doing a wonderful thing by numbing society as to the abnormality of what they do and how they come across.
Well, I would actually beg to differ. There have been instances in Austin and Houston in particular where some of these drag queen story hour readers are themselves those who have victimized children, who have engaged in acts of pedophilia and have been arrested or even prostitution.
And you're correct. Those case matters have been cited. There is definitely a higher risk of pedophilia among this group, among drag queens. That is very clear. Many of them who are not into pedophilia, they to themselves think that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing and it's helping society, humanity, etc. That doesn't take away, though, from the fact of the real negative impact that this can have on young children with regards to future issues dealing with gender identity and the like.
Let's even drill down further on this. Brad Dacus, my guest, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. You can learn more about their great organization at pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. Biblically speaking, you and I are Christians. Your group is based on a Judeo-Christian understanding, a biblical worldview. God created us male and female, and for a man to dress in woman's clothing, first of all, is described, biblically speaking, as an abomination. Secondly, it is in violation of God's design to put on the wigs and the makeup and present yourself in a way that is at odds with the biology that God gave you at birth. I mean, let's address that head on.
You're absolutely right. The purpose of it is on its face to look and dress in an exaggerated way as a woman in a manner that is often sexual in nature as well. So this is something that the average parent would not want their children exposed to. And yet the sad thing is, there are people and parents in our society today who, under the cloak of being progressive or tolerant, are literally putting their child on the altar, if you will, by bringing them and having them watch, under the guise of, quote, tolerance, a presentation which, on its face, is not healthy. And psychiatrists have over and over again cited this as not healthy for children in their gender identity development.
Well, it's terribly confusing. I mean, children should get affirmation of God's biblical design that men are men, women are women, and that we should dress as such, number one. And number two, we should seek ultimate life partners from the opposite gender, and we should be happy with the gender that God gave us at our birth. All of that is thrown into a blender if anyone dares to take their very vulnerable minor child to a tax-funded drag queen story hour event at their local public library, whether it be in Spokane, Washington, or Atlanta, Georgia. these progressive parents have been, I think, brainwashed by the media at hand, whether it be the television shows or the movies they watch, which present an inordinate amount of homosexuals and now transgender characters, totally out of keeping with the percentage. I think the percentage is about 1% to 3% of the population is homosexual, but on television, 20% of the population is homosexual, and now we're seeing transgender characters, and now, as of this last week, transgender dolls are being introduced to kids. I mean, the onslaught against biblical morality is seemingly picking up at an exponential pace, isn't it, Brad Dacus?
It is, and I'm glad you used the word exponential, because that is not an exaggeration. Some of the LGBTQ communities say, oh no, 10% of America are practicing gay, and I tell people, they say, that's not true. I said, well, you know what, we may very well see in our lifetime the day that we say, gosh, I wish it was that low, because there is nothing genetically or biologically determining someone to be that. So therefore, if that's the case, it's a matter of environmental influences and social conditioning that opens the door for these possibilities and lifestyle choices that I think are going to be very catastrophic. Right now in California, for example, the overwhelming majority of high schools have at least two or three kids who are transgender, open about it. And the sad thing is that the majority of these kids will not grow up to see their 30th birthday because of depression and suicide. Now, the other side comes back at them and says, well, wait a minute, that's because society is not embracing it. We need to be much more loving. And yes, we need to be very loving. Christians should be the most loving people in the world to people who have gender identity dysphoria. That's who God makes us to be, is to love and take people right where they are. But the truth is that people who are in the, quote, tolerant society, say in San Francisco, their suicide rate is just as high as in other parts of the country. So it's not an external, it's an internal confusion, contributing to the depression and the suicide. It's worse than cancer. And how we as a society can flippantly engage in actions that will precipitate people having something worse than cancer is inhumane as a part of just basic good faith and humanity, totally separate from religious theology and moral convictions.
All right, let's bring it back to the case and how it ended up at this point. Pastor Ashton Yatton spoke out at this Drag Queen Story Hour public library event, he was planning to. He walked in, had a Bible in his hand, and spoke in Washington. Police officer noticed it, asked him whether he was for the drag queens or against them. He said, well, I disagree with them, but I want to hear what they have to say. He was arrested, put in the back of the car for 3 hours in the school library property grounds, and then ultimately arrested for creating a disturbance. Did he spend the night or multiple nights in jail, number one? And number two, what was the final verdict on this case after the judge had dismissed it twice?
I mean, he did not spend time overnight. He was booked in jail, and then he got out on bail. But as it turns out, the prosecution decided to appeal the case. So this is still ongoing.
Still now.
It is still ongoing as we speak because the prosecution decided to appeal the case.
Wow. That's incredible. We're going to take a quick time out, and we'll talk about what happened when a teenage girl in Sacramento, California, wanted to play Joy to the World. Not sing it, mind you. Play it on the piano at a school-sponsored recital. My guest, Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. He's their president. You can learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org. I'm Adam McManus, sitting in for Kevin Swanson. And my website is adammcmanus.net. We'll be right back here on Generations Radio.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? the American Pilgrims, at the Battle for Kings Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We're continuing now with Brad Dacus, my guest on Generations Radio. He's the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. We're talking about two key religious liberty cases that they've been involved with. Let's talk about this case in Sacramento, California. A 13-year-old girl decided that she wanted to play Joy to the World. Why was that something that the school objected to?
Well, first off, I want people to understand that she wasn't even going to play it at the school. It was a charter school program. This was her project. So she was going to play it at a nursing home. There was going to be no words. It was just instrumental. As it turns out, they found out about it. They said, oh, you can't play this song. Everyone knows that it has religious meanings to it. Well, it's a Christmas song. It's a 300-year-old Christmas classic. They said just the note being played could imply an endorsement of religion by that charter school, even though it's her doing it on her own as her project in a private nursing home. It was outrageous.
In follow-up emails, the school officials said they must, quote, err on the side of caution, end quote, and objected to the words like Savior and Heaven in the carol, saying that they were specifically problematic. That just says it all, doesn't it? How foolish can the public school system be that they object to a student, 13 years of age, playing an instrumental version of a Christmas hymn where the words are not even being sung, but where they're pointing to the words that if they were sung that they object to? I mean, this just reveals how far gone the government-run public school system and even the charter school system has become, and why the majority of our listenership are indeed homeschool parents who recognize that is the broad path to destruction and the narrow path is homeschooling, something that God has called them to save their children from such foolishness.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we at Pacific Justice Institute have been encouraging all the more people to consider homeschooling, especially when we look at the new outrageous and grotesque sex ed LGBTQ material that's being put in all the curriculum in California and is being used by other schools, school districts like, for example, Austin, Texas. Homeschooling should definitely be considered. And that's why this charter school, many people think, well, it was a charter school. They're not supposed to be doing that. But, oh, no, these new mandates like sex ed and things like that are being thrust upon the charter schools. And then you have charter schools that have people managing them that are totally mixed up like this charter school and don't understand the difference between student speech and state speech. First off, this is student speech, so there is no state endorsement of religion. Second, the courts have already held that even if this was a school program, there's nothing unconstitutional about playing and singing Christmas classics like Joy to the World at a public school Christmas program. So they were off on both points. And we at Pacific Justice made that very clear in our legal demand letter to that charter school.
Your attorney, Matthew McReynolds, wrote that we're thrilled that Brooklyn Benzel will now be able to bring joy to this retirement home with the timeless carol. No student should be made to feel that their choice of a musical performance is unacceptable just because it has both religious and cultural significance. Brad, I was perhaps even more intrigued by your quote when you said, without fail, the Grinches come out every year during the Christmas season to try to take away timeless traditions and censor our speech. Pacific Justice Institute is committed to preserving our cherished freedoms as Americans, both at Christmas and throughout the year. I must say that we are, first of all, grateful here at Generations Ministry for the ongoing work of the Pacific Justice Institute. We're grateful for your stand, and we know there's a cost to it, even though you're offering to represent people for free, and you've got some wonderful attorneys around the nation that are willing to do that. There are still expenses involved, and I would hope that if there are those touched by your stance on these issues and what you've done, that they would consider going to your website at pacificjustice.org and making even a small donation. Every dollar counts, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, and we would greatly appreciate that support here at Pacific Justice Institute.
On another final story, I wanted to give you a chance to sound off on a charter school that rejected an application from a piano teacher to become an approved vendor simply because they thought the name of her studio, His Song Piano, referring to God, presumably, was too religious. I mean, I just think that we've gotten so politically correct as a culture, we're falling all over ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, we certainly are. Just the fact that they're going to say that a piano teacher can't participate in a charter school program because of the name of their studio is ridiculous. But what's even worse is the fact that, you know, here she has this very diverse piano instruction manual with all these different songs of different styles, different parts of history, very, very wide and diverse. And they looked at it and they said, oh, when the Saints Come Marching In and Amazing Grace, two classics, very much deeply a part of American culture and history and heritage. They said, you can not only just not use those songs, you have to tear them out of the student's songbook, actually physically tear them out. We at Pacific Justice have now filed a lawsuit on her behalf. Government can't engage in this kind of bullying and intimidation tactics of employees when it does not violate the Constitution and instead exhibits an action of state hostility to religion.
I'm reminded of the verse Ephesians 5:11 in conclusion, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And Pacific Justice Institute is doing a great job on both fronts, but especially the latter, in exposing the foolishness that is going on in our culture and calling a spade, which is so wonderfully refreshing in this world where no one will have the guts to say anything is wrong. Thank God for not only the evangelical pastor in Spokane, Washington, Afshin Yatin, but also for Brooklyn Benzel, the 13-year-old daughter in Sacramento, California, and her mother, Julianne, who took a stand on her behalf. Pacific Justice Institute backing both parties up. The body of Christ needs to stand together because our culture has us in its crosshairs in many respects, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. And that's why we have to step up and protect our freedoms and our liberties. It's not like the beaches of Omaha where we have bullets flying, but nonetheless, the threat to our freedom and liberty is just as real as we see it taking place across the country. That's one reason why we at Pacific Justice Institute now have 9 offices in the United States and are growing to have these boots on the ground to defend people of faith, churches. One thing we are very happy about, though, is the transformation of our federal courts. The court appointments by the president is making a real difference. It will have a huge difference in the future as this continues, as well as the executive order that was signed explicitly spelling out how the Constitution protects religious freedom and prayer of students in public schools.
President Trump's decision to make that statement through the Department of Education was a milestone moment in many respects, wasn't it?
It was. No president has gone as far as President Trump in terms of furthering religious freedom on so many different levels in so many different areas of government. We at Pacific Justice have been very pleasantly surprised to see what an advocate for religious freedom this president has become. We all who appreciate religious freedom and our people of faith need to be grateful and appreciative of the many actions taken by this president to further religious freedom.
I appreciate the fact that you affirm President Trump's appointment and nomination of 187-plus constitutionalist jurists across America in some key positions of influence. Not only are we grateful for President Trump's nomination of Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, but he has literally been able to, just in 3 years, reconstruct many of these district courts, which are unbelievably influential, to, in some cases, become a majority of which are now constitutionalist jurists.
it's having an impact. It's going to have an impact for generations, potentially, with regards to them serving on the court, but also the case law and precedent established through their service from the Supreme Court all the way down to the many, many federal district courts across the country. We at Pacific Justice Institute are consequently more aggressive and more full throttles forward than we've ever been in our litigation strategies and practices because of this major transformation that we see taking place and will continue to take place, of course, depending on the outcome of the voters of the United States.
Brad Dacus has been my guest, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. You can learn more at their website, pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. You can check my website out at adammcmanus.net. I'm Adam McManus, filling in for Kevin Swanson as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.